Good day and welcome to today's program. Please note all participants are in a listen-only mode. This call may be recorded. I'll be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Rachel Peerich. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Thank you all for joining today's call. This call will be recorded. We'll be sending out a link afterwards. Welcoming America is very pleased to be hosting this briefing today and to be joined by USCIS Director Leon Rodriguez, co-chair of the White House Task Force on New Americans, as well as Mayor Eric Garcetti of Los Angeles and Mayor Kasim Reed of Atlanta. I want to quickly turn things over to our speakers, and then I'll be sharing some additional comments, after which we'll open things up for some questions. But let me turn over first to Director Rodriguez.
Good afternoon. I'd like to start by thanking Welcoming America for organizing today's call, and I'd also like to take that same opportunity to applaud them for their leadership on efforts to support welcoming communities where all residents can thrive and contribute to our country's cultural and economic vitality. I've had the honor during this critical initiative to lead the Department of Homeland Security's Citizenship and Immigration Services and to co-chair the White House Task Force on New Americans. And in that role, I really want to commend the more than 50 cities and counties, at least two of which are represented on this call, that have joined the Building Welcoming Communities campaign. This was a cornerstone of the White House Task Force on New Americans efforts. And it is really an interagency effort, both at the federal level to integrate immigrants and refugees into American communities, but critically, as this call demonstrates, at the state and local level. From January to June 2016, the task force hosted regional convenings in 10 cities to strengthen the regional infrastructure supporting welcoming and integration efforts, highlight best practices, and broaden and deepen multi-sector partnerships at the local level. 51 cities and counties, large and small, have joined the campaign, and what's exciting about that is the diversity and quality of the ideas that these various cities and counties have presented. And I know we have Mayor Garcetti with us today from California, Mayor Reed from Atlanta. Both of them have really been leaders in just about every respect in really promoting the elements of the campaign. Earlier today, the White House Task Force published a report called Bright Spots in Welcoming and Integration. I've had worked on that report and had the opportunity to review it. It recognizes and highlights local initiatives that cities and counties are actively pursuing to support immigrant integration. There is no one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to immigrant integration. Each place is different. But we do hope, and we have in fact found, that other communities can learn from these same promising practices. The campaign exemplifies the reality that successful immigrant integration strategies require the participation of all sectors of society and all levels of government. And I'm really pleased to say that's exactly what occurred, a collaborative approach among local governments, state governments, community-based organizations, national advocacy organizations, the federal government, the private sector, the nonprofit sector. Everybody has really kicked in, and this is a great example of what happens when you have a whole-of-society approach to addressing this, both the challenge and opportunity that has been presented here. It has resulted in strong, welcoming communities that embrace and harness the talents and contributions of all of their residents. And I look forward to recognizing those outstanding contributions at a White House gathering later today. One of our roles in the federal government is to develop and support local partnership and coordination efforts to reach immigrants where they are. We've certainly learned that immigrants often first turn to local government agencies, community and faith-based organizations, colleges, adult education programs, public libraries, and other service providers as they settle into communities and move forward on the path to integration. We work closely with the City of Los Angeles and Atlanta, as I mentioned before, along with many other communities across the country to support citizenship, education, and awareness. In LA, under Mayor Garcetti's leadership, the city has used its 73 public libraries to help immigrants find official information about the naturalization process, connect with qualified local service providers, and take an adult education course to prepare for citizenship. This is important in particular because one of the lessons that we've learned throughout the country is that one of the big barriers to people making the choice of full civic participation as United States citizens is their fear of the process. And this sort of leadership in demystifying the process has in fact been very successful in promoting people making the choice of U.S. citizenship. In L.A., they've also partnered with direct service providers, ethnic media outlets, and several local elected officials to launch two major citizenship campaigns. Mayor Reed's leadership has been equally awesome in Atlanta. There, the city has established citizenship corners at public schools, community centers, and other city facilities, including libraries, to provide easier access to official citizenship information and resources. Additionally, the city created a Welcoming Atlanta Advisory Committee to ensure that city services support newcomers. Each community's implementation looks different. That's exactly what we intended. And it's been a great benefit that we've done it that way. These approaches are a reflection of the strengths in each community and its individual circumstances. To conclude, I'd like to emphasize, first of all, that the federal government is but one player in this effort. And we will continue to foster multi-sector partnerships with cities and counties, community and faith-based organizations, educational institutions, nonprofits, and foundations, to get that much-needed information and those services out to our immigrant communities. We're proud to support the principles and initiatives of the White House Task Force on New Americans and the Building Welcoming Communities campaign. Across the federal interagency members of the task force, the commitment to the Building Welcoming Communities campaign continues, including here at USCIS. We know there's a growing need to foster this kind of welcoming and inclusive environment in communities across the country, and we will indeed continue to do so. Thank you all for your time today.
Thank you, Director Rodriguez, and thank you for your leadership in prioritizing this issue, not only within your own agency, but throughout the federal government. I want to turn now to Mayor Eric Garcetti to talk about some of the innovative work that's been happening in Los Angeles.
Well, thank you very much, Deputy Director Parrish, and thank you to Director Rodriguez, who's been a great friend and has done really amazing work with the municipalities and the states of this country. And it's always good to be on a phone call with Kasim Reed, my peer, my colleague, and also another dear friend. And, you know, Director Rodriguez gave a lot of the speech, which he highlighted the good stuff that we're doing. But you do it even more articulately than me. So, you know, I just wanted to highlight a couple personal points on this. I think that this is an interesting moment in our nation's history where after, you know, some forward and backward steps throughout our history, there's been a steady march towards a more inclusive America, and one in which we have always recognized that from the founding fathers to today, that the strength of our nation's economy, the strength of our social fabric has been our immigrant culture. And Los Angeles is perhaps the most, the deepest embodiment of that, a city in which 62% of our population are immigrants or the children of immigrants. Arguably the most diverse collection of languages and cultures and nationalities, not just on the face of the earth today, but in human history. And nearly half of our labor force is made up of immigrants. So I think we in Los Angeles understand when we can make immigrants part of our civic discourse, that it lifts up the entire city. When they earn a better wage, it lifts up everybody's wages. And when they have a voice in their city, and in the whether that's in an election or whether that's in coming to a community meeting, their nation's and their city's future are all stronger. I think many of us were crestfallen. I certainly was very heartbroken with the Supreme Court's non-decision last week. I hate to call it a decision, and underscores the importance of us having 9 justices and the Senate doing its job by confirming or at least even holding a hearing to confirm a justice. But I'm also prepared to use that disappointment to fuel my commitment and my city's commitment to continuing to open doors of opportunities for everyone in my city. And even in the time when we are awaiting a decision, We've not been, you know, just looking to Washington for action. We've realized that we have a lot of power at the local level to do things. My Office of Immigrant Affairs, which I stood up, is led by Linda Lopez, and we focused on making, you know, policy decisions that help immigrants and help the entire city. As was mentioned, we have citizenship corners now in every branch library, and everybody has a library in their neighborhood. And in each one of these, there's a librarian who's trained not just to point out the great pamphlets that and information packets and playing cards and other things that are part of USCIS's efforts, but they also can sit down and talk face-to-face, oftentimes even share their own stories as naturalized immigrants to help others go through the same pathway. About 25,000 people have visited these corners or attended free classes. 25,000 of our family members, our friends, you know, neighbors, coworkers, who now have a greater stake in the future of LA. Second, we've also focused on civic engagement. And because this is an election year, you can't miss the opportunity to get people excited about elections in a nonpartisan way. Or bipartisan, we launched with the Me Too Network, which is kind of the digital media company that Latino millennials in particular focus a lot on, to kick off something called the Taco Challenge. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but TACO stands for Take Action and Commit Others. And our goal is to register 1 million Latino millennials before we to reach and hopefully register as many of them as possible, 1 million Latino millennials before the October 6th deadline for voter registration. Millennials are about 44% of eligible Latino voters, but only about 38% of them voted in 2012. We're also focusing on helping low-income Mexican nationals and families participate in the American financial system, whether that's opening a bank account, apply for public benefits, or establishing credit. So we're actually partnering with the Mexican consulate and look forward with other Latin American, Asian, and other international consulates to launch a financial empowerment window. This is an expansion of something called the Ventanilla Project that provides free financial counseling at the Mexican consulate already. But we've already served about 3,000 people since its launch on Cinco de Mayo. So, you know, for me, this is very personal. I'm the grandson of immigrants who came here from Mexico, who were, you know, my grandfather was a dreamer before we had the term. It wasn't until he volunteered, even though he came to this country when he was one, not through his own choice, but because of war. When he was faced with a choice in World War II, he volunteered for the only country he knew and as a result earned his citizenship here, learned a trade, became a barber, and now his grandson is mayor of the biggest city in the biggest state in this country. To me, you know, when we invest in our young people and our immigrants in particular, they become the next great entrepreneur, the next great doctor, the next great politician, the next great cultural innovator. And I'm just very pleased to be doing this hand in hand with an administration that gets it. An administration, by the way, that's led by the son of an immigrant himself. So I think it's very personal for President Obama, and it'll be one of the lasting legacies that even in choppy waters, in terms of legislation, he has been able to bring a lot of people that much closer to the American dream. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mayor Garcetti, and we're just really delighted to hear about all the fantastic things that LA has been doing under your leadership, and I'll come back in a bit to talk about how some of those practices are now being adopted in other parts of the country. I want to turn now to Mayor Kasim Reed of Atlanta. We have really had the pleasure here, Welcoming America, of working closely with the mayor's office. As you, Mayor Reed, have set up a number of new initiatives in the city and I think really made Atlanta continue to be a leader in the South. We're really delighted to have you on the call today.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I want to thank you for joining us today and thank you to the Director Leon Rodriguez and my friend Mayor Eric Garcetti. Deputy Director Rachel Perrick, thank you for being a part of this effort and really for leading Welcoming America and for having me on this call. Every day I wake up, I ask myself how I can make sure that Atlanta remains the place where people can bring and build their dreams. That's what I think about. The legacy of dreams and dreamers goes back generations in our city. Our city has been called the city too busy to hate, because when our region was still in the grips of Jim Crow era, the country was divided, but he chose to move forward in a different fashion. Our city chose to embrace civil rights leaders like Dr. Martin Luther King, Congressman John Lewis, Ambassador Andrew Young, and so many others, really to embrace the diversity of our community. At that time, we considered diversity black people and white people getting along. Today, that story is so much more powerful, so different. Because of that, the city too busy to hate became the economic and cultural capital of the South. One thing is clear. Atlanta is a busy city. We're not the city that's too busy to love as well. That's why this effort around immigration and welcoming foreign-born individuals. I think that we're the most forward-leaning city in the Southeast, at the second fastest growing foreign-born population on the Eastern Seaboard by percentage. Why Atlanta made the decision to become a welcoming city. According to the latest U.S. Census, Metro Atlanta will continue to have this kind of growth over the next 10 years. Our international community grew by almost 70% in the last decade alone. In 2000 and 2012, Atlanta's foreign-born population grew by 22%, while our native-born population grew by less than 1%. Aim time for us to be intentional about creating a more welcoming environment. What we did when I asked business and civic leaders to join me and my team in creating a 20-point welcoming initiative grounded in our community's values, eye towards increasing our competitive edge. With our Welcoming Atlanta initiative, we focus on embracing the hopes and dreams of people around the world. Last year, I opened the first ever Office of Immigrant Affairs in the state of Georgia. Just a few months ago, I sat with Director Rodriguez at Atlanta City Hall, signed an agreement to bring more citizenship resources to the city of Atlanta, that members of our communities like you all here today learn about what citizenship means and how we can pursue it. Not only is it the right and moral thing to do, it's also the smart thing to do. Here in Atlanta, foreign-born individuals launch companies at a higher rate than their native-born counterparts, graduate, grow their businesses economically faster. Immigrant businesses contribute more than $2.9 billion in annual business revenue to our state economy. I also want to point out the significance of having the city of Atlanta, the city of Los Angeles on this call today. Our two cities are on opposite ends of the country, different histories and demographics. Both of our great cities have been shaped by our immigrant populations, culturally, economically. Carving out our own paths and how we make our cities more welcoming. I believe this speaks to the power of city governments to innovate, developing new ideas and solutions. Share those solutions with others. Honored that today our efforts will be recognized by the White House as a national best practice. While we're disappointed by the U.S. Supreme Court's decision on the President's executive actions, families together, the city of Atlanta will continue to move forward with programs that all of our young people and their families are welcome and supported. It also reminds us that we have to remain vigilant, have to work harder to make sure that our country comes down on the right side of the arc of history. And thank you for the opportunity to speak about this important issue that is vital to the future of the city, our city, state, and America. So grateful to be on this call.
Thank you, Mayor Reed. So as I hope you've heard, Mayor Reed and Mayor Garcetti are leading incredible innovations in their own communities, and what we found in Welcoming America is that these are two leaders who are really at the front edge of what we see as a growing movement of city and county leaders who recognize that being more welcoming to all residents, including immigrants, creates more prosperous and cohesive communities. And today, we're really delighted that the White House will be honoring more than 50 of them for their innovative and intentional efforts to bring all residents, including immigrants and refugees, into their community fabric. Welcoming America has had the pleasure of partnering with the White House Task Force on New Americans and USCIS on the Building Welcoming Communities campaign, which Director Rodriguez spoke about earlier, which is an important initiative that supports this municipal leadership and helps more communities build welcoming places for all residents. We've appreciated how this administration has helped to strengthen in a number of different ways, through technical assistance, through resources, some of the innovative work that's being led locally, ranging from, you've heard some of the examples on this call already, but making it easier for immigrant entrepreneurs to open a business, for adults and young people to learn English and get involved in school and civic life, and also a lot of work focused on building bridges between newcomers and long-term residents in order to create more cohesive communities. These communities and their leaders understand that creating an environment where everyone can fully participate, regardless of where they were born, their race, their religion, is not only consistent with our values as a nation, but is imperative for their prosperity and for their global competitive edge. All immigration is local, and here at Welcoming America, our network of hundreds of communities across the U.S. are demonstrating that millions of Americans are unified in their support for their new American neighbors, and ensuring that they can fully participate in the civic, social, and economic fabric of their adopted hometown. I hope on this call we can continue to share some examples and be a resource, particularly to those of you in the press. As you cover some of these more nuanced local stories, we think that this is where the action is at on immigration, and you just have to look to places like Atlanta and Los Angeles to see the incredible continued momentum and continued efforts that are happening there. I want to briefly share a few additional examples. We heard a little bit earlier about Los Angeles's practice around utilizing libraries. That is a practice that we are seeing spreading, and a number of the communities being honored today at the White House are similarly using their libraries as a gateway to community opportunity, whether that's the opportunity to learn English, to access opportunities like citizenship or other civic participation opportunities, or perhaps to start a small business. We know that in a number of cities there are efforts underway to bring together multi-sector coalitions to create a comprehensive plan that looks into the future and says, what does our community need to do to be as competitively welcoming as we need to be in order to attract and keep the people that we need to power our workforce, to power our economy? Cities like Dayton, Ohio, cities like Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we heard about effort that the mayor launched in Atlanta. A number of cities are replicating that strategy. We also know that a number of welcoming cities are focused on refugee resettlement, and they're seeing great economic gains from that. The city of Columbus, who will be honored today, recently released a report showing that refugees there are contributing to their community to the tune of about $1.6 billion in terms of economic contributions. And we're also seeing that in cities like Boston, New York, Nashville, Charlotte, there are efforts underway to make sure that people are able to participate on boards and commissions, to get involved in government, understand how government works, and that's a good thing not only for our newest residents, but for all residents who want to participate in our democracy. So we're all happy to share more examples. I know that Mayor Garcetti may have to jump off a little early. We're really delighted to have Linda Lopez on the call with us today. Linda is the chief of the Mayor's Office of Immigrant Affairs, and we're also really appreciative to the American Immigration Council who is hosting us for this call today. So I want to open things up for questions and turn now to our operator to help us facilitate that.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing the star and one on your touchtone telephone. If at any point you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Once again, that is the star and one, and we'll pause briefly for questions to queue. And again, that is the star and one, and just one moment as we allow questions to queue. All right, we'll go first to Mark.
Yes, Mark Price in Charlotte.
Yes,
hello, are you there?
Can
you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, this is Mark Price in Charlotte, North Carolina. Our state legislature is creating law specifically to push back against work that Charlotte is doing on behalf of being a welcoming city, whether it's a municipal ID or being a sanctuary city. From what I understand, that's not uncommon with many of the cities doing this kind of work, and I'm wondering, if you could share what you suggest cities do when they are literally being targeted for state laws to push back against their efforts.
This is Mayor Kasim Reed. I think that local leaders should partner with business and faith community. We found that approach pretty effective in the city of Atlanta, and I know other of my colleagues who are mayors have found that approach. I think that there is a much higher level of sensitivity and greater appreciation of the talents and skills that immigrants bring to the table in the business community, and then that support can be buttressed by members of the faith community. And I think that while it may not stop a particular legislative initiative, it will significantly impact what is ultimately passed. If you're in a state where conservative thinking or leaders on who are anti-immigrant are in a dominant position.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Reed. Mayor Garcetti, would you like to comment on that?
We're blessed in California to not have that situation, but I've certainly talked to a number of my peers across the country. There are things that can be done that I think in the immigration space nobody can be against and cannot be preempted. I mean, the idea of helping people who, for instance, are already legal residents go through the citizenship process, there are millions of Americans potentially out there just waiting for someone to help them through that process, and we're seeing record numbers of them reaching out to us. When we held a citizenship fair that we expected 400 people to be at, 4,000 showed up here in the Los Angeles area. So, you know, there are more aggressive things, that whether it's the Supreme Court's indecision or whether it is sometimes state legislatures that cut things off, preemption will occur, but you can continue pushing the ball forward and seeing action. And I think the more people, especially that become part of that civic process by becoming citizens and registering to vote, can change that dynamic at the state level too.
Great, thank you. And I'll just add, I think California is a great example of a trend in the opposite direction that we're seeing at Welcoming America, which is a state level effort to actually encourage and support more welcoming communities. And that's something that's been moving forward in places like Michigan. I know that Pennsylvania, I think, has been very interested in this issue around what the state can do to proactively support more inclusive communities and working with the growing number of localities that are embracing this idea. So we're seeing some encouraging movement in the other direction. Let's take the next question.
Thank you. And we'll go next to the line of Tandri from the Atlantic City. Please go ahead.
Hi. I had a sort of similar question. This is probably Mayor Reed can answer this and maybe give a little bit more detail. Some of the state laws that are specifically targeting immigrant communities, traffic laws, is there anything cities can do about those? I mean, Atlanta, a recent article in the Huffington Post also said that, has really high rates of asylum denial, things like that. What are some other ways that, apart from obviously working together with the faith and business communities, are there other ways that immigrants can get relief in these cities?
I think that there are two things that we can do importantly. One is to be guided by the leadership in our immigrant communities, which is why we maintained our welcoming board. They continue to advise me and give me direct advice as the leader on the city of the city with regard to policy positions. Second thing we do is that I happen to have the largest police force in the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So as it relates to or from the state that we don't agree with, while we don't violate the state's laws, we do have the ability to choose what our police officers will focus on. So, for example, as it relates to anti-immigrant legislation that would have targeted immigrants who drive on City of Atlanta streets, I have deprioritized that for the Atlanta Police Department, which is the largest. And that came about by getting direct advice from people who are part of our Welcoming Atlanta So while I am not thoroughly briefed or familiar with every issue, I have a cadre of individuals who are well briefed and highly qualified to give me advice so that I can take.
Great, thank you. Would anyone else on the call like to comment on that? Okay. So let's move to the next question then.
Of course.
If you could please state the name of your outlet when you introduce yourself.
And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, it is the star and one. And we'll go next to the line of Lewis from Atlantic Business. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon. Many thanks for doing this. I'm with the Associated Press here in Washington. And I would like to ask whether it would be possible to get an update on the effort to on the naturalization effort since President Obama launched his campaign back in September. We already know there was almost 9 million LPRs eligible for naturalization, and would like to know the update in order to measure somehow the success of the effort. And the second part of my question is, we already heard specific examples in different cities, but what would be the best way to quantify whether or not, you know, how much successful this campaign was? Are there any metrics, any numbers that you guys can share? Thank you.
Thank you. I think perhaps we'll turn to Director Rodriguez for the first question.
Yes, I think I can take on both questions.
Terrific.
I think a core element of the welcome community and the various integration efforts has been promoting the choice of citizenship. The fact is that throughout this entire fiscal year, and in fact going back to last June, our citizenship receipts at USCIS have been quite substantially elevated. And so we actually have published citizenship receipt numbers as of the end of May, and we will, as of the end, so we have them at the end of March. What I can tell you is unconfirmed that those receipts have continued to stay quite high, well over 20% over prior years. So I think, just in terms of the outcome that we were seeking, which was people making that choice, I think the numbers have been and will continue to be quite high. The other thing that I would like to take the opportunity to add, though, that still, as Luis, I think you observe, we have nearly 9 million legal permanent residents, which means that the potential for all of us collectively still remains quite high. And that we should continue in those efforts, really for as long as it takes, basically, to get all those people to naturalize.
Great, thank you. Let's take another question.
We'll go next to the line of Amber from Governing Magazine. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I was wondering, apart from reaching out to immigrants, if Los Angeles and Atlanta have efforts to sort of educate native-born citizens to make them more welcoming, and I was wondering if there are data or statistics measuring people's attitudes towards immigrants. Thank you.
Great, thank you for your question. Mayor Reed, would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, I don't have data or statistics measuring people's attitudes, but what I do know is that we have utilized our libraries much in the fashion that they did in the city of Los Angeles, mm-hmm. really as centers for our immigrant population because they are located throughout the city. And then we use our Office of Immigrant Affairs staff to go all through the city of Atlanta where we know our immigrant populations are, help them interact with the city in a direct fashion. Of course, we have made the city of Atlanta far more bilingual than it ever was, including Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, which is the busiest passenger airport in the world. We had about 100 million passengers last year. So really, this is a multi-pronged effort that we undertake, guided by a welcoming Atlanta board of individuals who work on these matters every single day. So in terms of concrete steps, obviously we have utilized our libraries, have a staff in the Office of Immigrant Affairs that travels throughout the city of Atlanta to multiple functions every single month. That staff is constantly available to our immigrant population. They help our immigrant population open and establish businesses, go through red tape that is nothing to you or I, but to a person who is just arrived in the city of Atlanta can be. We have changed our police force to give it a multilingual capability so that people don't feel intimidated by it. I have deprioritized as a priority laws which I believe are anti-immigrant at their base. So we think all of these things contribute to a tone in a state that has passed laws that have been hostile to our foreign-born population, that they are welcomed in the city of Atlanta.
Thank you, Mayor Reed. And let me turn now to Linda Lopez with Mayor Garcetti's office.
Sure. Thank you so much, Rachel. I mean, I think there's a couple of things that I'd like to add in terms of thinking through the question about, you know, how native-born folks receive immigrants in the city of L.A. And I think two things I want to draw your attention to. One is that what we've been doing is really highlighting the contributions of immigrant entrepreneurs in cities that, particularly throughout the LA region, we have 88 cities, so countywide effort to really think through how we can highlight the contributions that immigrant entrepreneurs play within these respective communities. And also, Mayor Garcetti has been working with a regional table of about 88 mayors, some of whom obviously have different populations within their respective communities, to really highlight not only the contributions that immigrants play in the economy, but also some best practices that help facilitate that receiving community that may not necessarily have experience in some cities having immigrants in their communities or having different languages spoken or having different types of food in those different communities. And so it's a regional approach to bringing in about 88 mayors to discuss these issues on how we create more welcoming environments in some cities in LA, in the LA region, that may not necessarily be so receptive to immigrants. And then the last thing that I would point out is that we have a very rich partnership with local universities to create research studies to assess, you know, how well are we doing with respect to our citizenship outreach and initiatives, but also with the USC Center for the Study of Immigrant Integration, have been able to utilize research to also explain and to analyze the attitudes in different parts of the LA region, Orange County metro region, LA region generally as a metropolitan area. And so I think there are a lot of reports that can show you the different index measures of how well some of these cities within the LA greater metropolitan area are receiving communities. So I would encourage you to go to their site. They have really great research and evidence-based reports that help highlight those best practices and also how different cities are welcoming or not so welcoming of immigrants.
And I'll just add to that, Welcoming America has been working with a number of communities, even actually predating our existence as a national organization, starting with the first welcoming initiative, which was Welcoming Tennessee, which really helped to turn around what was at that time a fairly unwelcoming climate in the city of Nashville, also Shelbyville, Tennessee, which was featured in the documentary Welcome to Shelbyville in 2011 on PBS. And I think what we learned from that and what we continue to learn from communities around the country is if there is an intentional effort to create opportunities for newcomers and longtime residents to build relationships, whether that's over a meal or by participating in a common project together, you know, PTA working together on a common issue, for example, as well as an effort by leaders and others in the community to continually reinforce some of the positive messages that Linda was talking about, that we do see change in the community. And Nashville is a great example of that as a place that really turned the corner from being about 10 years ago identified as the sort of epicenter of anti-immigrant sentiment to now being arguably one of the most welcoming places from both a policy and cultural standpoint, one of the most welcoming cities in the country. And, you know, the upside of that is that they've also had one of the most booming local economies as well, leading the country in job growth in 2012. So we see that there is real potential for communities to really overcome some of these feelings that are very natural when a community changes demographically, if there's an intentional effort to really do the educational work, but also create relationships among people who might not otherwise have that opportunity. So I'm going to close things out here unless there's any final parting words from our speakers. Okay, well then with that, I want to thank again all of our speakers on the call, Director Rodriguez, Mayor Reed, Mayor Garcetti, Linda Lopez from Los Angeles as well, and thank all of you for joining us today.